Good morning, Thursday. It's My Car Guru. We're on the air.
We're here.
We're right here.
Live and in person.
We are absolutely.
This is not a rerun.
But once again, we repeat, this is not a rerun.
Yes, I catch heck on those now. Because people listen and say, wait a minute.
Well, at least people.
Wait a minute. I heard that one last week.
Yeah.
You know, but I do have a job, you know, and I actually get paid for that one.
Well, even TV shows, even some of your favorite TV shows are reruns.
I just wish I could get the management here at the radio station to pay me for doing this show. I guess they don't think it's worth it. You know, I've been doing this for 22 years.
That's pretty incredible. 1999, is that
I don't know how many. Bill Meade told me one time how many shows we had done. It was an estimate. He had like 600 plus stored in a computer somewhere, and it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
All that hot air just blew it up.
Well, I mean, 22 years worth, you figure, if you count...
Oh, here we go with the math now.
Well, if you count every day except for the weekends, you know, during the weekdays.
Well, one time when I first started, though, it was once a week.
Oh, okay.
It was once a week for about probably 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I came to him, I said, you know, and like it was only 15 minutes. I said, I can't even, you know... tell one story in 15 minutes.
15 minutes goes by fast.
Yeah. So they said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'd like to maybe expand it a little bit. So we did a couple 30-minute deals or 26, whatever it amounts to. And that worked pretty good and got some good comments and stuff. And I said, you know, I'm just going to make this just like a regular show. And then we came up with the My Car Guru thing. And, you know, and that was from a customer in the showroom at the Ford dealership one day. I was explaining to him about, I don't even remember what the subject was, but he says, you're like a car guru.
Mm.
Ding, ding, ding. You know, these bells went off in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Angels started singing, choirs from above. And I said, maybe
it was one of those enchanted moments.
You know, what is a guru? Really? Is it somebody who knows a lot about something, a particular subject? I don't know if you define it. It's probably some type of a leader of a cult. I wouldn't want to be known as that.
No.
Unless it's a car cult, then that's okay. The car cult.
The car cult.
Yeah. But anyway, I have really enjoyed doing this show. I've enjoyed the time that we've had together. Of course, Bill Meade and I did it for the most time. But, you know, the pandemic has changed a lot of work habits. Now General Motors has some stores that are actually doing virtual sales managers. Okay, so the sales manager in a new car dealership, you have a new car manager who manages new car inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a used car manager that manages used car inventory, acquisition, ordering, and stuff like that. On a used car manager, he's going to have to go to auctions, and he does a lot of the appraising and manages the reconditioning process of cars that are coming in and going out.
Mm-hmm.
You will have a finance manager who works in the finance office, okay, and does all the paperwork and, you know, sells, arranges financing and handles, sells extended warranties and maintenance contracts and stuff like that. And then you will have, you might have some assistant managers that have some roles. Sometimes they're called closers.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting title, isn't it?
It's like a baseball closer. The relief pitcher comes in.
Yeah. So the closer is the guy that after the salesperson can't get you to say yes, this guy comes in. He, you know, maybe takes a different approach. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just, the idea of calling a closer is kind of weird. We call him floor manager. It's a floor manager, basically. His job is to make sure that the sales process is done properly, that the customers get what they want, and that we cover all the bases with them. You know, you have some people come in, they want some information, right? They they're not there to buy a car. They're there to just investigate and test drive and stuff like that. And and if you have a salesperson that's only been there for 90 days, he doesn't know everything that he needs to know to be able to really guide that customer. And that's why we have a floor manager to kind of monitor that and make sure that this guy or gal stays on track, you know, and is able to provide the information that the customer wants.
Kind of a gap filler in some ways, too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure that there's a similar, if you look at restaurants, you know, when you're sitting there, when I'm sitting at Carrabba's, you know, and you know, this guy comes by and he says, "Hey, y'all have enough bread?" You know, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Well, he's the floor manager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's monitoring. He says, "Y'all need some extra drink?" "Well, I don't know where your waitress is. Let me go find her."
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got busy with somebody else. He's making sure that there's the integrity. He's ensuring the integrity of that process.
Mm-hmm.
And then above them, you'll have somebody called a general sales manager. And he's pretty much over the sales department.
Mm-hmm.
And he's that guy that monitors the numbers and makes sure that everybody is trained, makes sure that they have all their certifications. You would not believe the number of tests that a salesperson has to take. It's like, just to be a Ford salesperson, it's like 150 different tests. It takes weeks to go through all of the videos and learn all that.
Mm.
But just because somebody takes tests and watches those videos doesn't mean they know horse hockey,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pucky, or whatever it is. They don't know squat,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they don't know how to take the features that the car has and translate to the benefits that it has for the customer. I was standing there beside a Nissan Rogue, the new Nissan Rogue. I drove it home this past weekend and just admiring it. It's just a beautiful car, and Nissan just did it. That's why it's selling like hotcakes right now. We can't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a CRV, Honda CRV, Toyota RAV4, Hyundai Tucson or Santa Fe, you know, it's a competitor for all those vehicles. But they just hit it out of the park with this thing. But I'm looking at the window sticker, and I get down to the safety section, and I'm reading all those different things that it does, like automatic braking. I said, I wish I'd had that back when I ran into the back of that car with my Camaro back in 1976. You know?
That would have been handy.
Yeah, it would have stopped. You know, when you're backing up in a parking lot, cars are hard to see out of now. Would you agree with that, folks? Would you agree with that? Yes, I heard a resounding yes.
Everybody said it.
Yeah, it's hard to see it because you've got all these blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where the blind spots come from? You know why they're there?
Just the way it's designed.
I'm making you think.
Just the way it's designed.
Exactly. It's because it looks good that way from the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
It certainly doesn't look that good. Otherwise, everything would look like a Subaru.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or look like a Ford Flex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like a big station wagon, big panoramic windows all around. But, you know, blind spots, they'll keep you from seeing a kid or somebody in a shopping cart at Publix. Mm-hmm. And when you're backing out, you could easily run into somebody, you know, because of it. And my old neck, the older I get, the less I like turning it.
Well, that's true.
You know?
So now we need the technology to help.
Right. And so we've got rear backup cameras that look, you know, it looks like you're looking at a flat screen TV.
Mm-hmm.
Real great clarity as long as you keep the mud off of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're backing up, if a kid walks, it automatically stops. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this, but I can take my hands off the steering wheel, and it will drive right down the road and stay in the center of that lane, as long as those computers and cameras and all that stuff's working. Now, that particular feature, I can live without, because I'm not going to let go of my steering wheel and let the car take over.
Right.
Because I don't trust the guy who designed that. But anyway, is that negative?
No,
is that it's just being real?
Realist.
Real.
Yeah.
You know, people that are real. Now, a 30-year-old say, heck yeah. You know, I'll do that. I don't know. So you really just don't know, you know, whether or not somebody's going to be enamored with this particular feature on this car. But, you know, that's one of those things that you just have to learn the product, learn what all the different features do. Because if you're a new salesperson, you're not going to know that. That's the function of management, right? So you got sales managers, used car managers, new car managers, you got floor managers, you got a GSM. All of them are designed to manage the customer experience and also to make money for the dealership, right?
Right. Well, if a customer is looking at a car and interested in it, or a vehicle, and then they say, well, what's this button right here for? And the salesperson says, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not good, is it?
At one time when I was basically, from 1984 on, that's when I actually became the general manager of the store. For probably 30 years, nobody knew more about the product than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as we got a new product in, I would drive it, I would take it home, I would spend time in it in the dealership, I would open everything. I would open the hood, the hatch, the doors, I knew how the seats folded down.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just something because I loved doing it, and it's because I wanted, if somebody asked me a question, I wanted to be able to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody said, what's that button do, I could tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at most dealerships, you see the salespeople all gather around on the front waiting on a customer to hit the lot when they should be standing over beside a product learning that product.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen veteran salespeople that have been there a long time, and they lose sight of what's one of the key things that builds customer confidence, and that's product knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if don't you always admire somebody or tend to like or gravitate to somebody who knows what the heck they're saying and doing?
Mm-hmm.
And also who is able to take that knowledge and information and translate it to your needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim, if you walk up to my business, I'm going to find out what your interests are, okay? And if you don't give a rip about horsepower and torque and, you know, how many gears the transmission has and mm-hmm. all that stuff, then I'm not really going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kind of go over it, but I'm not going to, belabor the point.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about how many cams it has and whether it's four valves per cylinder or two, mm-hmm. you know, the serpentine belt system, you know, the type of refrigerant that it has and the cooling system. Your eyes will just glaze over.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be thinking, how can I get out of here, you know? And so that's not what I want. But if I'm talking about, now, Tim, you know, when you go on your next vacation, you're going to really appreciate this. And so we're opening up the hatch, and you're interested in room and comfort and safety for your family. And if I show you the neat little storage cubbies and places where you can keep your handgun and stuff, I'm just kidding, you know, places where you can store stuff and different ways you can use your phone. Maybe you're a technical guy and you really like the iPhone and say, well, you're going to love the Apple CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when I was driving up here from Greenville in the Mach-E Mustang electric vehicle,
mm-hmm.
I got a text message and I don't even have my phone plugged in, but it's synced up with the car.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have my phone. The phone is in my pocket. Okay, I get a text message, boom, automatically it goes from the navigation screen for the car to Apple CarPlay, and the message comes up, and Siri's sitting there waiting on me to tell her to play it,
mm-hmm.
to read it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I see, here's a message from my wife. I said, play that message, Siri. And there's my wife saying, honey, I love you. You know? And I said, I love you too. So I would have missed that message if it hadn't been for Apple CarPlay.
Thank goodness for Apple CarPlay.
So anyway, you've got to tailor your presentation to the needs and wants of the customer, and then I think you endear them to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get the feeling, which is genuine, because that people are going to see through it if it's not genuine. They're going to look at you and say, you know, this guy, he's cool. He's a nice guy, and he really knows his stuff.
Gives them a warm fuzzy.
Yeah, and I might go, let's say I leave and shop, and I say, well, you know, honey, let's go check out Dumaflachi Honda. And so they go to Dumaflachi Honda, and that guy doesn't know his stuff, and he's not really nice, and they're walking around, and they're out there on the lot and said, honey, let's go back and see Lanny.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so much nice. He really cared about us. Mm-hmm. I think that matters.
Yeah, and his wife,
may be wrong.
His wife tells him she loves him. Yeah. Let's go back and see him.
Yeah, that's right. And then he says, maybe we shouldn't.
All right, let's go to our first break, and we'll be back right after this. We are back. It is Thursday morning on My Car Guru with Lenny Lawson himself.
Yeah, they're talking a lot about infrastructure.
Yes, the country's infrastructure.
We got to fix the infrastructure. Just what is that? Is that like interstates and
bridges and
tunnels?
And interstates and tunnels and all that good stuff.
What's wrong with them? Are they broke?
Well, you look at some of the bridges, they're getting pretty archaic in some states.
Mm-hmm. You don't need that.
Afraid they're going to break down.
Have you ever wondered what's the secret behind the numbers on interstates? I thought you said you lost some sleep about that the other night.
I did. I was thinking, why do we have I-40, and then why do we have I-75?
Why is it called 40? Who came up with that number?
Yeah.
I don't have a clue either. I was just wondering. No, if you've ever driven west on Interstate 80, for example, mm-hmm. through, you know where 80 goes through? What state?
80. New York?
Nebraska.
Nebraska?
Starts with an N.
There's an 80 in New York, too.
It probably goes all the way from New York to Nebraska.
It may do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But in Nebraska, mm-hmm. it's probably one of the flattest roads that you will ever see in your life.
Sure.
And you probably had some time to ponder life's questions. Why is it called I-80?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're about to find out the secret codes behind the U.S. interstate naming system, and I'm going to educate you. But for starters, let's talk about how it became a thing anyway. You know, what president is responsible for the interstate system?
That would be Ike.
Yeah, Dwight D. Eisenhower It's called, actually, it's called the Dwight D. Eisenhower National System of Interstate and Defense Highways. That is the name.
Wouldn't you like to have been him that started that? How would you like to have that title? Mr. Interstate.
Mr. Interstate.
President Interstate.
It was approved by Congress through the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956. Something else of importance happened in 1956. I was born.
You were born. Yeah.
November. It's really not that important. Anyway, he authorized the construction of 41,000 miles. And for those of you from Canada, 65,983 kilometers.
Well, I'm glad,
I just can't relate to kilometers.
Glad we got that in.
Yeah. But one of the main purposes of the interstate system was national defense. You know, the Autobahn was built before World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Germans had some really good highways, a lot better than ours.
Mm-hmm.
Eisenhower recognized that. You know, and that was intentional because they could move troops and move armament and all that stuff until we just bombed the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we realized how important, hey, this is pretty important. We need to be able to get around better.
Mm-hmm.
Two-lane roads with a lot of stoplights aren't cutting it.
No.
You know, so they decided to go a different route. The system was touted as a way for Americans to travel with fewer traffic jams, more efficient routes or routes, with no at-grade crossings, that is, intersections. The system used overpasses and underpasses to allow for seamless, stop-free, high-speed travel. There are now 46,876 miles of interstate that's designated as interstate in the U.S. of A.
46,000 miles, huh?
The first construction was in 56. It was in Missouri. It was called I-70.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those highway numbers aren't random. The number of digits in the name tells you whether an interstate connects more than one city or if it serves a single metropolitan area. Interstates with one or two digits, like I-5 or I-95, interconnect several regions. Those with three digits, I-285, for example, are meant to serve a single city and are called auxiliary interstate highways. They connect to longer two-digit highways. The last two digits match the parent highway. For example, I-480 in Omaha.
Omaha.
Yeah, that's a good play. And Peyton Manning used that a lot.
Yes.
I don't know what it meant, but he sure said it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I-480 in Omaha is a five-mile stretch that connects 80 in Nebraska with I-29 in Iowa. Likewise, 285 circles Atlanta, and you don't want to be on it around 5 o'clock, and connects I-85 going north and south.
It's supposed to be kind of a bypass in some ways, isn't it? To go around the city proper.
Right. Even number interstate stretch east-west. Did you know that?
I did. And the odd ones north and south.
That's exactly right. I don't know about 26, though. I'm a little concerned in Asheville, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, don't you just love that drive between Johnson City and Asheville now?
I do now. Used to, I didn't.
Yeah, but isn't that just gorgeous?
It's great.
I can't imagine. I bet it costs more to build that than, like, entire, like, 100-mile sections of road, you know, on flat land.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
great.
Because of all that mountain.
Do you know I can get from our house to Asheville in about 45 minutes now, 50 minutes tops?
That's
and used to it would take, you know, on the old two-lane, it would take an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes.
There are some exceptions to this pattern in cases where stretches of road were added after the first framework was already in place. For example, I-99 didn't receive its interstate designation until 1998. Of course, that road didn't receive its designation, the one between Asheville and Johnson City, and it was called interim I-26, right? It's full-fledged I-26 now, isn't it?
Well, there's still, last time I was over there in Asheville, it still says Future 26. And
Future 26, yeah. Not interim.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's everything you didn't know and didn't care to know about the interstate system. There's even an I-238, even though there's no I-38 for it to connect to.
Huh. Okay.
Instead, it's an artery between I-880 and I-580, and where else would it be that confusing but in San Francisco?
Of course. Why not? All right, that will do it for this particular section. We will be back and wrap things up right after this. Back here for the remaining moments of My Car Guru this Thursday morning.
Question, does Alaska have interstates?
I've been up there two times. I don't recall them having interstates.
It has two.
Does it?
Yeah, A1 and A4.
Okay.
A stands for
Alaska.
Yeah, and then Hawaii. Does Hawaii have interstates?
I think they've got
yes,
one or
it
two.
Does. Yeah. H1 through H3.
Yeah.
And even our brethren to the south, non-statehood brethren,
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico
has
two interstates.
Okay.
PR1 and PR2.
So
I know that completes all of this knowledge.
I know in Hawaii it doesn't take very long to get, well, unless there's a lot of traffic.
That's how my grandfather used to say it.
Hawaii.
Yeah, he, the old country doctor in West Virginia. He went to Hawaii.
Yeah. I know it on that interstate system, it didn't take too long to get from one side to the other. I remember that.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru this Thursday morning, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.